Crane Christian Church, it's time for wisdom. It's Sunday school-ish. It's 10:15, so let's get started. Proverbs chapter 15 is where we're going to pick it up again. Just going to say a quick prayer, by the way. This isn't the first time I prayed about the service today, or the second time. So, good news is we prayed. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for these people, both at home and here. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our heart in only the way that you can, by your Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay. Proverbs 15 and 1. And it's very interesting that we're starting here. When you look around, when you see the constant dialogue between groups, whatever that tribe group or whatever is fussing at the other one. The New King James says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fools pour forth foolishness. Now, the tongue, okay, in the NIV over here, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but mouth of the fool, if you can imagine this, gushes folly, pours forth. So guys, here's the deal. God showed me this many long times ago, okay? And some lessons, you know, you learn, and then some lessons are beaten into you, okay? I want to tell you that God never shows you anything, okay, just weigh this, okay, in your situation. When he reveals something to you guys, he does it for you to help you right then. Right? Everybody get that? But remember that we are reflection of his light. Okay? We are, you know, that's what the moon has, no light of itself. It's just sitting up there in space. We would never see that thing if it wasn't for the sun. It reflects that light. And we are like that, guys. And don't get me wrong, God is inside of you and all that. But when he reveals something to you, and I don't mean that we all need to be preachers, I don't mean we all need to be teachers, but it might be for the lady at the grocery store. It might be for your children. It might be for when he reveals that to you, sometimes we're like, oh, you know, I don't want to, should I? And here's the deal. When I go down to what used to be Porter's Sun Fresh,
Fun Fest?
Sun Fest. Yeah, all that. Okay, what y'all just said?
Some rest.
Okay. But the point is that when I go down there, when I buy chicken, okay, I can get the bone in, okay? I can get the tenders, okay? With the tenders, we don't throw much away. We may lick the paper with the stuff over. But with the bone in, I don't feel any obligation to eat that bone. No obligation. I may not own it, okay, but the point being is this, guys. He is using us, and as I'm looking at, Acts is wearing me out. That's the only way I can say it. And the Holy Spirit's wearing me out through Acts, okay? But the point being is, as I look at that, these guys were not biblical scholars. There were people in the audience that day, it says, these are a bunch of drunks. You remember that? And so maybe they weren't laying out clear and handed out handouts to give them where the message was going. But the point being is this, guys. At one point, Balaam is trying to go somewhere and he's walking around the edge of this and a donkey turns around and gives him some great advice. Don't go any further or you're going to die. Right? It balks. And then he's beating him, and he turns around and says, why are you beating me? I'm trying to save your life. And you say, well, that's happened twice. Bruce talks, and he's a donkey, and, okay. I actually petted 3 mules yesterday, so that's a sad point. Okay. But here's the deal, guys. Be willing to be a servant to this generation. And a servant to this generation does not mean, well, now I got to straighten you out. That's something else. Okay, that's the hall monitor. Okay, don't do that. They're never popular in school. Okay, little narcs. But anyway, yeah.
He doesn't have a pass.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't go to school that day. Anyway, so, but the point being is this, guys. What he has called us to be is to be servants. And a servant, it is very hard with a servant's heart to not hear what they're saying. When people come to me and say, hey, man, I noticed your trash can was full. I was going to empty it. Instead of saying, you never empty your trash can. But if a person comes in with a servant attitude and says, hey, you care if I empty this? No, thank you. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. I don't think they think less of me, right? Because I'm serving them. But what we have become is a generation of finger pointers. So if you come in with gently as a servant, they can hear you, okay? And again, I talked about it a little bit last week. I'll just say it quickly. Anything we don't do in love is just racket. Is that what Paul said? Anything we're not, it's just a clanging cymbal. Okay, and you say, yeah, I love you, but I got to beat you because of, no, that's, okay. So, the next verse, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Okay, now, I was reminded this week of, I was talking to some people about technology, and I was reminded of a lady in rural South Arkansas when TV first come in. And they, all the ladies was sitting up front and some Billy Graham or somebody was on there and this watching this TV and a little lady comes in and said, ladies, keep your dresses down. You could see them and they could see you too. Okay, the ones on the front row, because she really believed that. But now they actually have that technology. But anyway, don't worry, nobody's watching you. Don't. Okay. So, but what's this? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, aren't they?
Yes.
And so this morning in my prayer time, I had a time where we needed to have a heart to heart because he already knows my heart. Does that make sense? I mean, I could come to the Lord, thou art greatest, thou for thou art this, that, then the other, and, you know, he knows where our heart's at, you know. I've heard preachers buying vacuum cleaners in Walmart. You thought you knew they were a preacher because, you know, this model here will do this, that, and the other, praise God. Anyway, so the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He's keeping watch on the evil and the good. Now, think about that. Think about that. And, you know, I have studied this back through the years over and over and over. Because, you know, film, all that intrigues me, okay? And I'm thinking, you know, now some people are concerned about Big Brother because there's cameras everywhere, you know, everybody's got a camera in their pocket. Everybody's this, everybody's that. There's cameras and every time you go into a public building, many times when you're driving down the highway, you're on camera. And people worry about that. But you know what? That's just man. Guess what? God not only knows what I'm doing, he knows why I'm doing it, right? And when I'm not doing it and I'm thinking about it, he knows what I'm thinking about. Is that not concerning to you a little bit? Okay, maybe y'all are better people than I am. Okay, but the bottom line is, guys, he knows everything. Okay, the eyes of the Lord in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. I had a long conversation in this building, okay, with some people about the responsibility of God to the people who had not accepted him yet. And here's the deal. We always think of God linear, okay? In other words, well, I wasn't saved in 19 whatever, and now I'm saved, and you know, God's not linear. He invented time so we would lose our minds, okay? He's already there. He's already tomorrow at the office, if I get there. He's already with me there. Does that make sense to you? And I want to tell you something, guys. The bottom line is this. The eyes of the Lord are there, and he's preparing you. He has literally, through the years, I've met somebody, and I've thought, wow, that's cool. And I said, yeah, that's cool, you know, and then just keep going. 3 years later, I need that person. 3 years later, they need me. 3 years, you see what I mean? Just a coincidence. Okay? No, there are none. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. So this verse 4, if I could just sit here and just beat this one for a while. Okay. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Guys, think about, I'm going to read it over here. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. That's another illustration. But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. I want to tell you, we said it last week, I'll say it this week, and evidently somebody in this world needs to know it. Besides me, I'm reminded of a lot. You do not have to say everything you think. Okay? Just because you think that, that's a good idea. And I will never forget studying under a guy who explained it like this. This is many years ago. I never met this man personally. This was all books, video, stuff. But he explained relationships like this. And think of it like this. So let's pretend that Kathleen and Jo, my parents, went out and spent a bunch of money on a tree ornament, which would never have happened, by the way. Okay. I'm just pretending. Okay. And they spent a bunch of money on this glass ornament. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Okay. And what they wanted to do was to last generations, because it was valuable. It was beautiful. It reminded them of Christmas. You see what I'm saying? Okay, but it's fragile, okay? So then they take this, they put it on the tree the first year, and after the first year, they say, well, you know, that was nice, but we want to save this forever, and that's actually, in their heart, that's what they want to do, but they say, you know, we've lost our baseball. Let's just use it for baseball. It might hold up. We're just going to throw it back. You wouldn't do that, would you? That wouldn't make sense, okay? Or you wouldn't just, okay, well, just, okay, you know, here, yeah, here, you catch it. You would treat it carefully. Does that make sense? Because it's fragile and you value it. It's fragile and you value it, okay? Well, that's the way that God has called us to treat one another. And that's this, watch this. Because love suffers. If real love... For God so loved the world that what? He made us do a bunch of stuff so that he could be bigger? No. For God so loved the world, he
gave.
Okay. And if you're a servant motive, some of that comes more natural than others. Some of it, if you're an administrator, you say, why don't they do that? Yeah, I get it. Okay. It's life's complicated. But the truth is, the bottom line to relationships, both intimate relationships and relationships with the public, relationship, is that you have to realize that they are way more fragile than they act. And you go, well, people don't need to, people are just too fragile, people are this, people are that. And yeah, whatever, I get it. If you don't get irritated, you're not alive, okay? But the point being is this, What did Jesus value? What he could have done with the woman at the well, what he could have done, he showed up and said, well, you know, can you not keep a husband? Can you not keep that straight? Can you not, I mean, don't you know what the Bible, don't you know what the word says? Don't you know what, but is that what he did?
No.
No, because he knew her heart. He knew, and I want to tell you something. People are going to treat you bad, aren't they? Amen. Hey, if you're, you know, this, you know, I get irritated at the grocery store, so you can imagine what real life does. But anyway, not very often. But the point being is this, guys. What comes out of your mouth is either life or death. You're speaking life or death to the future of you. You're also speaking life or death to that Christmas ornament that you value, that Jesus died on the cross for. He died on the cross for them. Can you imagine my dad spending everything he had on a Christmas ornament and me going in there and saying, well, you know, I think it'll work as a football. No. Do you know why I wouldn't do that? Because I love him and I know he values that. And if I don't see that, you know, that's kind of that ornament's irritating me. I don't like the color or whatever. Hey, that's not the point. The point is he valued it. And so I choose to honor him and say it has inherent value. And is it important to honor God?
Yes.
Who did he die for? Did he die so that we can have more money and bigger steeples? Praise the Lord. No, that's not why he died. I want everybody in here that's under the sound of my voice to raise your hand and say this. Either hand, come on. Say these words with me. Come on, raise your hand. He died for me. Say it. And guess what? When I look at you, you're another me. Yes, he did die for me. Yeah, and that makes me pretty special. But guess what? That makes you pretty special. Because he died for you. And we can understand that. First, you have to receive that for yourself, or you don't have nothing in the wallet to give grace to somebody else. And let me tell you something. If he had died for me, I'd have busted hell wide open and lived in hell in this life. And he's blessed me. Oh, because I've been so good. No, because he loves me. And I'm trying. I really am. Sometimes it may not seem like it. But I'm trying. Still. Okay. So, are you going to be nice to one another? That was one person. Okay. I heard a bunch of people from home. No, I'm just kidding. So, here's the deal. But when you point fingers and the New King James says perverseness, and in this one it says deceitful. I'm going to tell you something. You know how I keep from lying sometimes? I don't say nothing. You think I'm kidding? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? You don't have to. You're pretty important, but you're, yeah. Sometimes we can be large in our own eyes, okay? Hey, Phil Westmoreland. It's good to see you, buddy. Cheryl Koss. Cheryl Cass, maybe twice with her. Yeah, okay, glad you're here. Okay, so next one. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives reproof is prudent. Okay, I want to tell you, first this is talking about your biological, you know, and some of us had great parents, some of us not. But the bottom line is this, guys. We have a heavenly Father that what he wants for you is the very best. And I hope, I was actually talking to a guy Thursday, maybe, yeah, no, Friday. And we were talking, he was asking me some stuff. And I told him, I said, here's the deal, man. God has designed everybody in the body of Christ to be a mentor to somebody, And because you wouldn't believe what I learned and studied for y'all. You wouldn't believe what I mean, because I'd be sitting on the couch eating chips, you know, watching NCIS reruns, but or doing setups, whatever, whichever. But the point being, sometimes both, I come out and get a chip, you know, whatever, and then put some of your peppers on it with that homemade salsa. That, not that I like your salsa or anything. It almost lasted a week, that whole jar. Anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Literally, as you look at that, we need to listen to our people's instruction. Now, that doesn't mean, listen, it's all inside the body, the word, but you need to follow. If you're watching online, if you're here, you need to get into it for yourself. You need to listen to mentors. You need people in your life. And this last thing is, I'm going to say it loud, okay? Loud and proud. You need a tribe. You need a tribe. We used to call it the posse. And I want to tell you, we still use jokes from those days. We've been doing this here now 21 years, okay? But the point is, the posse is like we always say, you know, you always got somebody to call. Does that make sense? You always got somebody you know is good to call. Something happened last night to somebody who's in my posse. And I happen to be married to them. And I only have one wife. It's okay. Relax. Okay. So the point being is she called me and she said, I'm so sorry. I need you to do so-and-so. I go, it's fine. How many times have I called you and said, I'm so sorry. I need you to pick up the slack. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere. Because, so, you know, you can't be two places at one time. I've tried over and over. And so far, I've been totally unsuccessful, except to send one of y'all or anyway. So, but the point being is this, guys. You need a mentor. You need somebody speaking into your life. You need, and there's a lot of voices out there, okay? Hear God about who you're supposed to be listening to. But the bottom line is this. Don't look at the Word of God and realize we have a thing. We use a little parentheses that I put on stuff. The Bible in context. Because you know there's a scripture that talks about dashing the infants' heads on the rocks, right? A friend of mine is in Bible school. They asked him, he said, well, what's your favorite? What's your life scripture? And he stood up and read that scripture. And it didn't go over well, okay? And he did that to make a point because he's a redneck. But anyway, because everybody was saying this. And it's nothing wrong with having life scriptures. There's nothing wrong with that. But anyway, the point being is we need to read the Bible, read it in context. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And I want to tell you something. He will then over and over, he will have some redneck, okay, nice person, I'm sure, come behind that and verify that in your life. Does that make sense? Or then circumstances will verify it. Something will do. So, verse 6, here we go.
All y'all talk about down there to the church is money, money, money.
I remember years ago driving through a particular part of a town in 305 miles south of here, which shall remain nameless. There was a guy on the TV. His name was Reverend Ike. Anybody ever listen to Reverend Ike? And I was imitating him when I said that about money a minute ago. But but the point being is this, guys. This is the decision that I've made with God. And it's not, you don't know anybody cheaper than me. I squeak when I walk. Like that. I mean, I am tight. Okay. I'm still, Kim and I were talking this morning. I say, yeah, it's everything I can do not to buy the Always Save everywhere I'm at, whatever it is. Even if I don't like using that, I need to buy the Always Save. The white label. Okay. You know, nothing. Corn. It says corn on there. Remember when that first came out? And it says, is it Chef Boyardee? No, it's corn. Okay. It's like my Uncle Henry. Uncle Henry, I was feeding with him one day, He had hogs, dogs, chickens, rabbits. We had a dazzling array of farm animals. Okay, I didn't want to call it livestock. Some of it was live. But anyway, but the point is he went to one bucket and dipped out something and went to each pen and fed them exactly the same thing. I said, Uncle Henry, what is that? Is that rabbit food? Is that dog food? Is that hog food? What is that? He said, that's food. I said, well, what if they don't like it? He said, then they'll starve. And guess what? Them rabbits was just enjoying it, and them hogs was just enjoying it. It was food. And I don't know. I don't know. We'll just I'll leave that alone. So I love my Uncle Henry. I miss him. So in the house of righteousness, there's much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked, there is trouble. So let's go over. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings them trouble. Okay. My dad used to tell this story over and over. We had some people, this is in the 60s, okay, and he was telling it in the 70s. So, but in the 60s, he pastored a huge church of 32, 33 people, and had wasp in there. I remember the wasp. Y'all were talking about hornets this morning. Insects just followed me around. I don't know what it is. So they'd get in those beehives and cause a little confusion, okay. But the point being is these people, and they asked for prayer requests. And the prayer request was that they needed a vehicle so that he could get to work and so they could come to church. Okay? He was having to catch a ride. And so dad, everybody gathered together and prayed and seek God. And this is in the old days. Okay? It's a long time ago. They prayed and made it a point of prayer and focused. And guess what? God gave him a car. Gave him a car. Come in. Favorite song. That God gave him a car. And they never came back. Because then I had a car. Because, see, we were going to pick them up for church. And once they got a car, they want to go. Hey, it's Sunday. Let's go to the lake. Okay? I'm off today. Let's go to the lake, you know. Let's go hang out downtown Smackover or whatever. Okay, so whatever. And here's the deal, guys. We pray for blessings. We pray for these things. And then what do we do with that? So that's important. So again, in context, okay, and just remember that as we plant seeds, seeds grow. So that's my whole thing on that, okay. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. Okay. I'm going to try to stay off of this, but for just about two sentences. Here's the deal. Always look at why people are saying what they're saying. What do they get by that? You know, I may be slightly suspicious, just slightly. You know, just because people call you paranoid, that don't mean they're not trying to get you, okay? And I know a lot of salesmen, okay? I know a lot of salesmen. And I have a degree in marketing. Well, part of my degree was in marketing, okay? I had a major in marketing. But here's the deal, okay? This is the way I sell you something. Let's just start with this guy over here. I think I can sell him something right now. Okay, what's going on here is, yes, that hat looks fine on your head, okay? But I have a hat that would be much more comfortable than that hat and would shape your face so much better. And it's only $164, okay? And we could put you in monthly payments of so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. And if you just try this on, just try it for a little while. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Okay, and the reason I do that is because of every hat that I sell, I get $30. And if I sell 10 of them, I've made $300 a day. Does that make sense? Okay, when you go online and they're saying, oh, have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? Look at that. Be careful. Guess what? Somebody's selling you something. And guess what? the political realm of today, somebody, they went back and looked at the, like the last two elections of how much, I think one of them was the Philippines, of what social media, they literally did a full-blown graph and of how that person got elected in the Philippines because of social media, misinformation, disinformation, that this, I mean, all of this stuff. And they came back and said, you know, if it hadn't been for that, this would have happened. And they weren't even picking sides. It was just the first time, because we've had it for, you know, a long time, but in the rural areas there, I guess they hadn't had it. This study's probably 8 years, 7 years old or whatever. But it was fascinating, okay, because they were selling it. And, you know, another thing that is when I was going to school for this, you're saying, well, I can't trust you either. No, but here's the deal. The point is that they literally took ads, like for, I think one of them was Smirnoff or something, that had ice cubes, had pictures in the ice cubes that would bring your, subconsciously, bring your eyes to that. And then, of course, then it's Smirnoff, I think it's vodka, maybe, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. And then they had another one, like a, it's alcohol, different, and I was like, I mean, unless you just took that and magnified those ice cubes, you would never see that. But guess what? Your brain, your unconscious brain was pulling you to that ad, pulling you to that ad. You ever see? Yeah, okay. Don't worry. They're not trying to get you. Everything's fine. Everything's good. So, but they do want your money, okay? Anyway, so let's skip down and look at verse 8. Oh, that's not much of a skip. Okay. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Now hold that right there. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. And this one says the prayer of the upright is his delight. So, does it matter what you do?
Yes.
Okay. Every once in a while, people will call me on self-defense advice. Should I get a what about this? What about that? You know, what about this? How does this work? And this is really what I tell everybody. Literally, and I'm going to be very generic, because if we were by ourselves, I'd just tell you the truth. Okay. Oh, it's the truth, but this is very generic. So, but the bottom line is, it really doesn't matter. The bottom line is, number one, is what's your heart behind what's going on? Do you know, where's your brain at? Because, you know, when I studied the westward expansion, because I'm a nerd, and I did it for college credit, but then I did it again, because I'm a nerd, what you found out was, of course, statistics, they couldn't keep, the records weren't as good, but the written journals, do you know how many people in a wagon train died by accident? we thought it was all attacks and floods and, no, accidents. Because people out east would say, I'm going to buy me a horse and two guns and I'm going to be Pistol Pete. And then they'd shoot each other by accident in the wagon, okay? Or the horse would turn over and kill them, right? I mean, And here's the deal. The bottom line is this, guys. What's your information? What's your mindset? What's your heart? And God has given us tools. Where is your heart, guys? And one of our tools is prayer. One of our tools is, you know, adoration. And what he's saying is, in this scripture, is I'm looking at your heart. Are you praying to be successful so you can stand out there and be an idol and say, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me? Are you praying so that you'll be, you know, be healthy? Do you want a car so you can make it to the liquor store? Do you want a car so you can come to church? Do you want a car so you can, where's our heart? And see, the world now says, oh, you know, it's all about how it looks. It's all about this. It's not true. You know, me and Elvis, just like that, okay? We've sat in the same church. Absolutely. Of course, he was dead right then. But my dad was the, I think they call it the superintendent at that school, of the First Assembly Christian School in Memphis, Tennessee, and Pastor, I think it was Orchid, or something, sort of the O, was the pastor when Elvis used to sneak in and come. So I, you know, not that I'm a nerd, okay, but I had to go in there and look where Elvis sat and, you know, all that. But in the little door he used to sneak out of, and you go, oh, but, you know, none of that matters. What matters is, did he know Jesus? But the point being is, I posted about that last night, about midnight last night. But the bottom line is this, guys. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Because I can, you know, Jesus handled it perfectly. Of course, he handled everything perfectly. But he says, okay, you guys come to the corner and you stand there and you say these long prayers. And you like for people to say, boy, he could pray. Ain't he something? Ain't he something? And you just got everything you're going to get out of that prayer. And the other guy goes down to the front and weeps and says, God, I'm not worthy. Help me. Which one of them was heard? What did Jesus say? The one that's heart was right. Okay? So we can say a lot of, some of us, some of y'all, can say a lot of eloquent things, but what matters is where our heart is. All right. Let's jump to 13. I really was going to go there, but I couldn't. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I want to tell you, negativity is like a cold. It really is. I can come home and start being negative, and it will catch. When my kids were at home, when everybody lived at home with us, it would catch. Because, and the same thing, positivity is like a cold. And you go, well, you're just living in la la land. No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. All things are working together for me, for my good. And even when I don't feel good, even when I don't like it, even when I, you know, whatever. I was, okay, don't need that. But the point being is this. Is the Bible the truth or not? If it's not, then let's take up the carpet, put out the sawdust, put the, we had people for years that's been wanting a mirror ball. Is it called a mirror ball? Yeah, disco ball. So, you know, we can put that in and change the band a few lyrics to the bill, and we can charge by the, you know. No, because see, what God says is the truth. He said, and here's the deal. His truth endures forever. Yes. It's not just good for this minute. It wasn't just good for that day. His word is alive. And he said, it's working together for your good. And I want to tell you, you're not a puppet. Okay, you're not, but the bottom line is he is working all things together for good. So we got choices to make. Are we going to choose good? Let's do it. But by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. There's this word that I hate. I hate this word. It's called brainwash. I hate that word. But the bottom line is this. I mean, science backs up what I'm going to say. Experience backs up what I'm going to say, and God's word backs up what I'm going to say. It literally says, bad character corrupts good morals. And listen, that don't mean that I can't walk into anywhere and do it, but I don't live there. Does that make sense? I can bring the light in there, and then they can make their choice. But the bottom line is, guys, we need to be very careful about, we open up to him, we get filled with him, it illuminates, it cleanses, And then we need to be very careful about what we open up ourselves to later. Does that make sense? Because how many of you know greed will catch just like negativity? Oh man, you want to get greedy, or you don't think you need anything? Go to a gun shop. There's seven guys that says, "Have you seen this one?" Right? Okay. Go to the Harley shop. Okay. Not that I've ever done any of this today. Okay. Anyway, go to the. Okay, we won't go there. Okay. There'll be something you need, right? And I'm not. Okay. Go and hand out. Positivity. Okay. The heart of him that has understanding seeks knowledge. Now, I want you to look at this. This is 14. Look at the dichotomy. This is the last one. Okay. In fact, I'm going to mark this one so I can remember. Because usually about Thursday when I start working on this again, I say, "Where was I at?" Okay. So, but watch this. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. Think about that. He has understanding, and he's seeking knowledge. Mm-hmm. He knows, but he's seeking. He's smart enough to know he don't know all of it. Okay? And I want to tell you, I have had conversations with people that I love. I love them. And some of them have gone to be with Jesus. And I love them. And they were so convinced on some. Their knowledge was going to stop right here. Because this person said this. And I'm like, "Well, you know, the Bible says this." "Well, you know, he was, and then I would tell them about some other things he had said. "Do you agree with that?" "Well, no." I said, "Well, why do you agree with this? And you can't flex here when these are Bible teachers, okay? Why can't you flex here, but you don't even believe that?" So was he wrong about that? "Well, yeah. Well, but he's right about that. He's right because you want him to be right, because it fits your agenda." Does that make sense? And we won't get into what that was because we don't have time. And probably it would be better not to talk about it. So, but here's the deal. The heart of him, so listen, I don't know everything. I don't know much. But I am constantly seeking his knowledge. And I want to be the man that God calls me to be. And part of that is reflecting his truth. Do you want to reflect truth?
Yes.
Okay. But the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. And one of the things he's talking about in the new, we've worked our way through some of the teachings of Paul. You know, and here's the deal. Some of the things he says, you know, don't let foolish things come out of your mouth. Foolish jestings, foolish, you know, whatever. And I like a joke. I like to laugh. I like to have a good time. Okay? But don't live there. Okay? Be taking his word, knowledge, information, and then distilling that through the Holy Spirit and allowing that 200-proof grace to go to the world. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you love us so much. You love us too much to leave us alone. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we receive your word this morning. Lord, help us to apply it to our heart and be the men and women you've called us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. Hi, Johnny Williams.